Brothers, makers of Swan, the new white floating soap. Well, it's Tuesday night again, time for another pleasant visit with George Burns and Gracie Allen, their two distinguished guests, Jose Iturbe and Deems Taylor, Jimmy Cash, and Paul Whiteman and his music. And now meet the people who live in the Burns house, George and Gracie. Well, Gracie is still determined to play at Paul Whiteman's concert at Carnegie Hall next Tuesday. She's practicing now, and George and Paul are trying to make her listen to reason.
Gracie, you can't do this to me. You'll ruin my reputation.
What'd you say, Paul?
I said you can't do this to me. You'll ruin my reputation.
What'd you say, Paul?
For Pete's sake, will you stop playing and listen? Paul said you'll ruin his reputation.
Oh, well, that's silly, Paul. We won't be alone in Carnegie Hall. Thousands of people will be there.
Yeah, that's what he was afraid of.
But, Paul, I played with you last year at a concert given by the Beverly Hills Uplift Society.
But this is different. This is Carnegie Hall. All the critics will be there.
What'd you say, Paul?
I said all the critics will be there.
Pardon me, Paul. Hello? Oh, yes, the insurance company. Well, look, here's what I wanted. I'm going to play the piano in Carnegie Hall, and I want to insure my finger. Which finger? Why, the one I play the piano with. What? Well, my, that's a lot of money. Well, I'll tell you what. Just insure it up to the first knuckle. Goodbye.
Gracie, we've been friends for a long time. Why don't you forget the concert?
What'd you say, Paul?
I said forget this concert.
Pardon me, Paul. Hello? Oh, hello, Mr. Steinway. No, I haven't decided yet. I may use yours or I may use somebody else's. Yes, I understand that you're willing to pay me. Well, I'll let you know later. Goodbye, Mr. Steinway.
You mean Mr. Steinway is willing to pay you? Steinway, the piano maker?
No, this Mr. Steinway makes celery tonic.
Celery tonic?
Yes, he wants me to have a bottle of it on the piano when I appear at Carnegie Hall.
Oh, Max Steinway celery tonic.
Yes.
Well, that's a real artistic touch.
Gracie, you've got to call this off. I won't stand for it.
What'd you say, Paul?
He said he won't stand for it.
Oh, persecute me as much as you like. I don't mind. Life has never been kind to great musicians. Look at Rimsky-Korsakov. Life must have been very difficult for him, especially if he liked to drink.
If he liked to drink?
Yes. Suppose he had a few drinks and somebody said, who are you? And he had to say, I'm Rimsky-Korsakov.
Yes, that's even hard to say when you're sober.
Yes. Yes.
Look, Gracie, you can't go through with it. It's musical suicide.
Oh, pardon me, Paul.
Pardon me. They'll be on my ear. I can't begin to tell you what the...
Well, it looks like we can't stop a ball. Yes, sir, that's what it looks like. We can't stop her.
That's great. They used to call me the king of jazz, but from now on I'll be called the Mussolini of music.
Hey, fellas, what's doing?
Bill, look, we can't make Gracie give up the concert. Have you any ideas?
Well, let me see, George. Have you tried threatening her?
Bill, I told her that if she went through with this concert, she could start looking for a new husband.
Uh-huh. Well, why don't you try threatening her?
What do you want me to do? Threaten to beat her? Threaten to whip her or to stop her?
Oh, now you can make a worse threat than that, George.
What?
Threaten to take away her Swan soap. Now, Gracie knows that Swan is the new white floating soap that's purer than finest Castile, a regular suds and whip.
Bill, this is serious. Paul Whiteman's reputation is at stake.
Yeah, what do you think those critics are going to do to me?
The critics? Well, Paul, as the bar Swan said to the dirty dishes, here's where you get tanned.
Oh, no.
You know, George, Swan is really great in that dish pan because it's purer than finest cast seals. And because it suds faster than other white floating soaps. And because it's purer than finest cast seals, it's kind to your hands. Helps keep them soft and lovely. So use Swan for every soap and water job around the house.
Bill, if you can think of a way to keep Gracie from playing the piano at Carnegie Hall, say so. And if you
George, I've got it. Listen, I'll have a microphone in the wings, and every time Gracie starts to play, I'll start to sing and drown her out, huh?
You'll sing?
Oh, sure, Paul. Something popular like, break it off, break it off, break your bar, if you wanted to. Break it off, break it off. Break it off.
Bill!
Well, George, you get the idea. I think about Swan breaking in two with a simple twist of the wrist, so you can use half in the kitchen for dishes and cleaning and the other half in the bathroom for your hands and face.
Bill, I've got enough trouble. You're not going to sing about Swan at my concert.
Oh, well, Paul, if Gracie plays the piano, the whole concert will be your Swan song.
Goodbye.
Well, he was a big help. I wish I knew someone who could talk, who could just talk Gracie out of this.
Say, wait a minute. What about Deans Taylor?
Deans Taylor?
Yeah, you know that big shot with the Allegro and Donnie Mob.
Hmm. Do you really think he can help us?
Sure, if Deans tells Gracie not to play, she won't play. Nobody in music packs more weight than he does.
Well, I wouldn't say that, Paul.
Slip of the tongue, George, slip of the tongue.
Oh, Gracie.
In here.
Gracie, I'd like to talk.
Later, dear. Herman and I are busy discussing the opera, aren't we, darling?
Uh-huh.
Well, that's fine. Discussing opera with a silly duck. Oh, yeah? Well, you're one with feathers.
Well, I don't blame Herman a bit. He thinks we don't know anything about opera, Herman. Well, come on, darling. Let's show him. Ready?
Oh, no. This is awful.
It is not. Don't mind him, Herman. I think you're wonderful.
There's a big hit from a new picture. And the boys come up with their arrangement of Taking a Chance on Love.
Please give up the silly concert.
No, George, and let's not argue any further. You just don't realize that I've got music inside of me.
Okay, but do you have to let it out in Carnegie Hall?
That's no use, George.
Well, maybe I can't talk you out of it. But I'm expecting someone here any minute who can. Deans Taylor.
Who?
Deans Taylor. Don't you know who Deans Taylor is?
Uh-uh. I don't even know who Dean is.
Gracie, Deans Taylor is one of the finest musicians in America.
I don't care. He can't talk me out of it.
But he's important. He's even composed a couple of operas.
He has?
Sure.
Real operas like Carmen or Miranda?
Yeah, the names of his last two are Faust and Luce.
Oh.
Come in.
How do you do? I'm Deans Taylor.
Well, come right in, Mr. Taylor. I'm George Burns, and this is Gracie.
Hello, and you can't talk me out of it.
Well, Gracie, in fairness to you, I think I ought to hear you play before we begin this discussion. Would you?
Oh, well, gladly. This is the piece I'm going to present in Carnegie Hall.
That's all of it?
Well, yes. Didn't it do something to you?
Certainly did. I'm sure it did something to Chopin, too, and he's not even here.
Oh. You see, John, Mr. Taylor thinks I'm wonderful.
You'd better straighten this out fast, Eames.
Right. Gracie, I'm a man who has devoted his life to the classical traditions of music. In fact, well, many people refer to me as a long-haired musician.
Oh, well, that's not nice. They shouldn't make fun of you just because you haven't...
Gracie.
Well, he hasn't.
Never mind.
No, I mean that I'm qualified to defend those traditions. Really, Gracie, you shouldn't play in Carnegie Hall.
Why not?
Well, may I tell you a little story?
Well, can George hear it too, or is it... you know.
Well, no, this story hasn't even a trace of, you know. It concerns a young man of my acquaintance, a real virtuoso.
Oh, doesn't drink or smoke, huh?
As far as I know, he doesn't even chew gum. But that's beside the point. For years, this young man has been trying to get into Carnegie Hall. 12 hours every day, he sits at the piano. No food, no rest. But he doesn't mind that. Only one thing bothers him.
No cushion.
He doesn't need a cushion. Gracie, don't you understand why I told you that story?
Of course I do.
Good.
You want me to give the poor man a ticket to my concert?
George.
I know, Deems. That's Gracie.
She must be so confusing to come home to.
You said it.
Well, you see, Mr. Taylor, I don't have to practice like that poor man. Mine is a natural gift. My whole family is musical.
Indeed.
Oh, yes, indeed. It only took my sister Bessie 5 years to learn to play the cello.
Well, isn't 5 years rather long to learn to play the cello?
Oh, I don't think so. Not when you consider that for 4 years she thought she was supposed to blow into it.
George!
I know.
Baffling, isn't it?
Yes.
Oh, come in.
Hello, Gracie. Oh, I see you have company.
Mr. Taylor, this is my girlfriend, Tootsie Sagwell. I hope you'll forgive her if she seems a little forward. You see, she's simply crazy about musicians and other types of men.
Say, Deems, you were talking to Gracie, remember?
Oh, yes. As I was saying, Gracie, your musical talent is at least open to...
He is cute, isn't he, Tootsie?
Yeah. I love his dimples.
Girls, would you please let the man talk? Go ahead, Dee.
Thanks. Well, as I was saying, Gracie, your musical talent isn't what you might
Don't
call
a... Don't you think his eyes are nice, Tootsie? Trustful, sort of like a St. Bernard.
Yes, and I adore that straight nose and that high forehead.
Look... Would you girls just stop dissecting me just long enough for me to finish a sentence? As I was saying, Gracie...
Don't you love his ears, Tootsie? He's got so much character in them.
Gracie, I'm telling you for the last time, I want you to listen to what Deems are saying. And don't interrupt them again.
Yes, dear. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Deems.
Well, as I was saying, music, Gracie, is a thing that one either has within him or one doesn't have at all. Now, I want to be fair in your case. I've given the matter very careful consideration, and great that
you... You don't think he's too old for you, do you, Gracie?
Well, then I'm not quite sure of Gracie, but don't worry, I'm trying to find out.
Oh, no, you're not. I'm getting her out of here right now. Goodbye.
Wait, Dean. You can't go. Think what will happen to music.
Brother, I can't stay. Think what will happen to me.
Now look what you've done. Chase Deems Taylor right out of the place.
Well, George, this time I don't blame you for being upset. I know you feel awful about it, and I do too. Really, I do.
Well, you ought to feel awful.
Oh, I do. He was the nicest fiancé Tootsie ever had. Oh, don't cry, Tootsie. I'd do anything to get you a fella. Anything. I'd even give up my musical career.
Oh, crazy.
No, Tootsie.
Oh, nuts. Cut it out.
Jimmy Cash is singing of is the girl who walked through the heat of gunfire, through the fog of shell smoke, who stopped her march only to help the wounded. The girl who wears the Red Cross. It's the Red Cross which comes to the boys to heal their wounds. The men and women of the Red Cross stand beside our boys, beside your boy, in every battle zone. But they may stand there with empty hands, with no way to give help now that the need is greatest, if they are not supplied with the weapons of mercy. Give. Give to the Red Cross so that it may continue to give to the fighting men it serves.
With the war breakers and the Red Cross nurse, she's a rose of no
All right. How do you do? I'm Pussy Tootity.
How do you do? Paul Whiteman phoned and said you were coming, Mr. Turvey. Do you think you can keep Gracie from doing this concert?
Mm-hmm. Certainly. I will tell your wife that I, myself, will play for Mr. Whiteman.
Well, you don't know my wife. She thinks she's a better pianist than you'll ever be.
You must marry some very peculiar people, Mr. Burns.
Yes, that I do. Oh, Gracie.
Yes, dear?
Gracie, I'd like you to meet Senor Jose Iturbe.
Senor Iturbe? Oh, aren't you the man who sells my husband his cigars?
Gracie, Mr. Iturbe sells very few cigars. Maybe not a half a dozen Coronas a month.
Oh.
I am a pianist, Mrs. Burns. And I would like to play in Carnegie Hall next week instead of you.
Why, Mr. Turvey, you want to ruin Paul Whiteman's concert?
It wouldn't ruin it. Really, I play the piano as well as you do.
Oh, please.
But I do. I do. Suppose we have a little contest to decide who is the better pianist.
Well, that's all right with me. And may the best woman win.
Well, this is what I've been waiting for.
Now, I want you to listen very carefully, Mr. Turvey.
Well, go on.
Well, that's the piece I'm going to play in Carnegie Hall.
That?
For sure.
Esta mujer está completamente fuera de...
I know just how you feel, Jose.
Now, I want you to listen very carefully, Mrs. Burns, while I play.
Oh, come in.
Hello, people. What goes on?
Shh, Bill. Mr. Turvey is just about to play something on the piano.
Oh, gee, it's Jose Turvey, the maestro himself. Oh, Mr. Turvey, this is a great thrill for me.
Well, thank you.
Yes, you see, I'm studying the piano myself, and, well, I know you great artists don't usually divulge your professional secrets, but, would you tell me something?
Certainly. What is it?
Well, Mr. Turvey, do you wash your hands with Swan?
Swan, the
new white floating soap that's purer than finest Castiles? You know, money can't buy a purer soap.
Bill, for heaven's sake, Mr. Kirby is just about to play.
Really? Oh, well, I want to hear this. I wouldn't stop Jose Kirby from playing.
Thank you.
Oh, wow! You're murder, Michael. Murder! How long have you been playing the piano?
I started to play when I was 3.
Get that, George. 3 years old, an infant prodigy, a baby. Did your mother bathe you with Swan, Mr. Kirby?
Bill!
Swan is great for bathing the baby, you know. It's so pure that it's kind even to a little baby's tender skin. So you know it must be great for your hands and face, your tub or shower. Well, go ahead, play.
Thank you.
Oh, Mr. Kirby.
What now?
You're from Spain, aren't you?
Yes.
Of course, you visited Castile.
Certainly.
Well, you know, Jose, women have long considered Castile soap the standard of purity. But Swan is even purer than finest Castile.
All right, Bill, that's the last straw. Out, out.
Well, okay, George, I'm going. Well, so long, Mr. Turby. Certainly was a thrill to hear you play.
Well, I'm sorry about the interruption, Jose.
Oh, that's all right. I understand.
Oh, good. Well, go right ahead and play.
Oh, yes, by all means, Mr. Turby.
Now, quiet.
Girlfriend. She had a very sad experience today. She lost her fiancé, and I promised her I'd do anything in the world to get... Hey, wait a minute. Mr. Turby, would you really like to play that concert?
I certainly would.
Well, I think it might be arranged.
Really? You'll let him do it?
Uh-huh.
Oh, boy, that's all I want to hear. Wait till I tell Whiteman the good news.
Good. Now everybody's happy, and the concert will be a true artistic success. I will lay them in the aisle. Well, so long.
Oh, wait, Mr. Turby, that isn't all. Have you heard the expression, you scratch my back and I'll scratch yours?
Mm-hmm. No, but it sounds like fun.
Well, it means swapping favors. Mm-hmm. I've done you a favor. Now, I want you to do me a favor.
What do you want me to do?
Well, I want you to make love to a girl.
That's a favor?
Yes.
What sort of a girl is she?
Well, what sort of a girl do you like?
Well, I like them blonde. I like them brunette. I like them tall. I like them short. See what I mean?
Well, how wonderful. I found a man for Tootsie.
Tootsie?
Yeah, I mean, just wait until you see her. She's so different. She's not in the other room.
I must feed my eyes on these little tomatoes. Ask her to come out.
Oh, Tootsie.
Yes, Gracie?
Mr. Jose Turvey, a piano player, is out here. He'd like to meet you.
Yes, Tootsie, please come out.
Well, all right. Here I am.
Please, go back in. May I ask you a question?
Yes, Mr. Turvey.
This is a girl?
Well,
I will go even further. This is a woman?
Well, she's my very dearest friend. And don't forget, either you make love to Tootsie or I'll play the concert.
You are a very tough character, Mrs. Burns.
Well, what do you say?
This is a most difficult decision. If I don't make love to Tootsie, you will play the concert.
Yes. Yeah.
If that happens, I will never be able to hold up my head again. Everyone will say, Jose Turvey is a traitor to music.
Oh, come, Mr. Turvey. Are you a coward?
Enough. I have made up my mind.
Well, here's Paul, Jose. I told him the good news.
Yes, Jose, and I can't thank you enough. Well, you saved my life.
Mine, too. For the first time in 3 weeks, I can relax.
Oh, what a wonderful feeling. Now, Jose, how about playing the number we'll hear at my concert?
Okay, boys. This is the number you will hear at Carnegie Hall next Tuesday night.
Shh. Quiet, everybody. Go ahead, Jose.
George and Grace, you'll be right back, so I've just time to remind you that although Swan is purer than finest Castiles, it's economical for every soap and water job around the house. In the bath, Swan gives more soap per penny than any leading toilet soap tested. And in the kitchen, Swan saves over easy-to-waste packaged soaps. So help save your hands, and incidentally save your pocketbook, with Swan, the new white floating soap that's purer than finest Castiles. And now here they are again, George and Gracie.
George, I've been thinking things over. This concert is coming between us.
It certainly is.
After all, I'm first the wife and second the musician.
That's right.
My first duty is to you.
Absolutely.
Well, here's a ticket in the first row at Carnegie Hall next week.
Good night.
The makers of Swan, the new white floating soap, join George and Gracie in inviting you to tune in to your CBS station at the same time again next week, when Gracie will be guest soloist in Paul Whiteman's concert at Carnegie Hall. Remember, George Burns and Gracie Allen, CBS next Tuesday night. And don't forget to listen to Swan's other show, Tommy Riggs and Betty Lou, next Friday night over another network. And now, till next week at the same time, this is Bill Goodwin saying, well, hi, Swan. How about you?
Night.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.